Hello, everybody, and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of January 2018. I'm excited to be here and to answer whatever questions you guys have and share any cases you want to talk about or some successes, anything at all that you're wanting to chat about or ask me about is fair game on these calls. It's not really for you exploring your own health challenges as much as for you exploring challenges you're having with other clients. We do have our other calls like the Vital or the INE, the VLM office hours where we talk about your own stuff. But if indeed you have some issues and we're through everybody who has, you know, client issues, we're happy to answer your own health challenges, especially if it's something that's going to help others to learn. So. Anyway, let's go ahead and begin. And so the way that this works is if you have a question and you're on the phone and want to ask that way, go ahead and do *2 on your telephone keypad. If you're on the web call, I think Lynn can tell us how to do that because I think there's a way to do that. If you're on the, it looks like almost everybody that's on the phone is actually on the web call. So I would say, Lynn, why don't you open up your line and tell everybody how they would raise their hand on the web call because I think there's some button and it doesn't show that to me because I come in as the host. So Lynn, I'm going to open up your line. Whoops. There we go. Hey Lynn, can you share with everybody how they do the raise their hand on the web call?
Sure. So if you're listening on the phone, it's *2, as Dr. Eva Marie said. If you're on the web call, for myself, I have a separate kind of a pop-up screen. And on that screen, it says raise hand on the bottom. There's kind of a bar. It says mute, raise hand, volume, etc.
Okay.
And so just click on the raise hand, and it will raise your hand.
Perfect. And if you are having trouble with that at all, just go to the chat and type in, hey, I'm trying to raise my hand. And it looks like everybody's names are showing up today. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes we just get weird stuff, but it looks like everybody's names are showing up. So I should be able to open up your line that way. And you can always ask questions on the chat. So let's go. I'm going to go to the chat. So *2 or click raise hand. And I don't see any questions yet. So how can I support you? How can I help you? What do you want to know more about? How can I support you with content like lab stuff, clients that you're dealing with, a potential client that you're not sure about? Carol, if you have a question, just tell me and I'll raise your hand. I'll raise it for you. I think you're the one that's on. No, Carol's not. Somebody in Denver is on the actual phone. But Carol, if you have a question,
there are some questions in the Q&A.
Okay, well, let me go there. Good. I usually check that last because people usually use the other. Okay, good. Okay. I see Valerie has a couple of questions. Actually, 3 questions. Great. So Valerie says, I'm working on the NEPT modules. I attended Dr. Hopkins' ACR presentation. I mentioned, suggested we do the LP little a within the next 2 months at 50% off. There was a mention of a 20% off panel. For clarity, is that the vascular integrity advanced lipid panel or something else? I believe it's that advanced lipid panel that was the 20% off, and then the 50% off was the LP little a. Yeah. And they were supposed to fix that. Lynn, do you know if they did? I know that they said when I spoke to them, I was actually with them over the weekend, they said there was some issue and that they got it fixed. And they said they had texted you or Skyped you or something, Lynn, to let you know that it was ready and it was working. So if that's true, go ahead and let's just type in the chat.
What are you looking for again?
When Alan did the call last week on the advanced lipid panel.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. Apologies. Yes, I was told it was uploaded.
Okay. So what's
Doreen this morning? And she said that it was uploaded today. So I will go and look.
So it's basically going to that. Yeah. If you can put that link in the chat, that will be fine. We'll share that with everybody.
Absolutely.
I'll put the link to where to get it in the instructions. Basically, this is advanced lipid testing. We had a call with our NEPT program on advanced lipid testing with Dr. Alan Hopkins And it was a very good call. And he talked a lot about the advanced stuff and how much is missed when we just do a cholesterol test. Because cholesterol just gives us cholesterol. It doesn't give us the particle sizes. It doesn't give us what's called lipoprotein A, or it's sometimes called lipoprotein little a, because it's LP, open paren, little a, close paren. And that gives us an indication of whether somebody has basically a genetically driven high prediction of heart disease. And if you have that, there's not a lot of very specific dietary things that you can do to shift that, but there are things that you can do to shift that via, basically via lifestyle diet and some supplements that will help with that. And it's not something that's easy to shift, but you've got to be super careful if you have that, because you have much higher tendency. So what he offered us was the ability to get that LP test for 50% off at their site, which we're going to start promoting a little bit more, because they have excellent pricing on direct access labs. And they also offered us 20% off the big panel, the lipoprotein advanced panel. So I would say that it's a good thing for everybody to check out and get your own checked, because it's just super important to know. I know I'm going to do it. And I have a feeling that my mom and dad both had that, because, I mean, yeah, they had a crappy lifestyle. That's really goes without saying. But I have a feeling that they had some of these weird particle size things that weren't showing up on the routine cholesterol testing, because they weren't flagged and they just suddenly dropped dead of heart attacks, which is scary. And I want to make sure that, you know, if I have that, I feel like I already do all the things that I need to do. But some of those advanced supplements regimes, you know, niacin and CoQ10 what was the other one? Vitamin C, I do. So it's really a matter of knowing what your risk factor is and being able to support it, but also knowing for your clients, especially when they have a family history of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, you know, anything that's a vascular condition, and that you can run these advanced lipid testing and really help them to make the changes you want to make. Because a lot of them just go by the doctor said the cholesterol's fine, the LDL and the HDL ratios are fine. They think they're fine, but in reality, these advanced lipid panels can give you way more insight and protect people and prevent cardiovascular risk and death, which was what happened to my parents. They didn't know they had a problem. So I'm all in favor of that, and I'm going to do it for me and my husband. As soon as he gets back in town, we're going to go and do these together. All right, so Lynn put up. What is that you just put up? You just put up the, yeah, that they're not going to be able to access that recording unless they're in NEPT, because it's advanced.
Right, isn't that what you were looking
for? They won't be able
for?
To go to that page. No, I was looking for the page where they can order the test. So the test that his page, which is my page, you know, my sub page of his. Yeah. And you guys can actually sign up as an affiliate for his page and be able to get your own page. So you'll see mine when you go to this link that Lynn's going to put up. And you'll see that there are, I have panels up there. We're still working on the actual final panels. But once we get those worked out, you'll be able to sign up as an affiliate under me and then be able to order direct. And they'll actually set you up a page similar to mine. So when you send your clients to get these tests done, you basically send them to this page, and it's going to have your picture and your, you know, little bio. And then you'll have access to all of the panels that I set up. So it's really it's a nice interface, and it really sets you apart from other practitioners, other health coaches out there, because you have your own page. If you're a licensed MD or a nurse practitioner, chiropractor, anybody who has the innate ability to order lab tests, then you'll be able to just set your account up on your own. You don't have to even go under me, but I think he's looking to really help. And then when you get there, so when you get to that page, supposedly, Lynn, if you can, he had said something like there was a little button or something that you could use to order the ApoA, lipoprotein little a, for 50% off. And for the other test, he basically said, for the advanced panel, the whole big panel. He'd give us 20% off, but when you order it on the notes field, you need to say that you're a practitioner in my program, and then they'll give you the discount. Okay? Yeah. Cool. Well, you won't have access to the recording that he did if you're not in any PT, but you will have access to the page. That's for all of our practitioners. Ah, okay. Enter the code DRR2018 at the checkout to get the 20%. Paste this coupon on your teaching site. It says student discount. Okay. Well, it's student discount because it's for us, right? Because it's us, it's our students in INE. Yeah. Yeah, and then there was also the 50% off the APO little A. I'm not sure how we get that. So if you can put that up too. Yeah, so we're basically talking about Dr. Alan Hopkins, who's a local MD here. He started a business, a company called YourLabWork.com, and basically to allow folks to be able to order testing and be able to do panels, and they get really good bulk discounts on stuff, supposedly less than direct labs, but I haven't checked each one. We're working on specific panels. So if you missed what we were talking about, if you're not in NEPT, you won't be able to access the recording we did to him because that's an NEPT Advanced Clinical Resource presentation. But you will be able to access the specials. So great. Okay, good. Great. So you go to the bottom of the list of individual tests, you'll see student special. Perfect. And that's on my page. Okay, cool. And then if you want to set up your own page, just reach out to them and say, hey, I want to set it up. I think, Annette, you've already been in contact with them. One or two people who were at Shine, because they were at Shine, had reached out to them. And you can set up your own account. And it really does, you know, it just elevates your status in the community and with your clients when you have your own special lab page with your own special panels. And if you guys have recommendations for the panels you want to make sure you have, then let me know. We'll have an advanced thyroid panel, a complete thyroid panel. We're planning on having a blood sugar panel. And then the basic, like what everybody really should be having, and then an advanced. So that's the one we're still working on because I think we put up the advanced and it turned out to be really expensive. And we're looking at setting up the basic. So I just need to get back in touch with them and get that set up. They're very responsive. And they're just, he and his wife run the company together. And she's a physical therapist. And they are both just delightful people. And they really, really have everybody's best interests at heart. So, and if there's enough interest, we can probably arrange another call with him to just talk about all the lab testing for anybody in INE, because I want to make sure that everybody's aware of what you get. And we could do like a Facebook Live or a webinar. So if that's of interest, let us know and we'll set that up. Yeah. All right. So I don't see any hands yet. So star 2 raises your hand. And then I'm going back to questions. And Valerie, yeah, so this is a great question, Valerie, with the NEPT membership in regards to the NEPT retreat in May. There is no fee for the retreat. It's included in your membership. There's just whatever lodging and food costs that will be paid directly to the facility. And they make really great food, and they have a really good deal where, I mean, last time we were there, I think it was like $100 for the room plus lodging each day. And I think that it was maybe a little more if you wanted, that was if you shared a room, and it was a little more if you wanted to, if you wanted to do it. She said disregard the retreat question. So, yeah, we're excited. We're going to be doing a call with Laura Fine. We were going to do it today, but she was under the weather. So we're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks, probably early February. And that will be, everybody will be able to come to that to learn about this particular 3 days that she's doing before the retreat. So at the same location, she's doing a 3-day event that's all about, like, how do you really cope with and manage the emotionally challenging clients, the ones who have, you know, some of those restrictions is not the word I'm looking for, but they have, they're resisting, right? They're resisting the things that you want them to do. And we see that a lot, right? Because people have this this resistance to actually making change. And she's really, really good at teaching things and ways to go beyond that. And we'll have a conversation with her. We'll also bring in a couple of people who've done her full program, and you'll learn about how that's impacted their practice. But instead of having to do her whole full program for like $4,000, you can actually come and do these individual segments for much, much less if you do the individual pieces. And we're going to be doing a 3-day version before our NEPT retreat, which is in early May. Yeah, great. Thank you, Valerie. Okay, Janet. I have a possible client who's very educated and controversial and challenging on facts. A well-known chef and had his own restaurant at one time. He was teaching and is too ill to do it now. I told him I'll meet him after I return from Africa. He would like a list of books to start reading. I thought of The Autoimmune Fix by Tom O'Brien and then drew a blank. Suggestions, please. And I don't see a place where I usually raise my hand. That's okay, Janet. Is it autoimmune stuff that he's dealing with? Then that would be a great one. It depends on what he's dealing with, though. I mean, I think The Autoimmune Fix is great. I think there are other books, depending on what he's dealing with. I would say if he is dealing with full-blown autoimmune, Terry Walls' book is really good as well, and that's The Walls Protocol. She wrote it for MS, the original version, but then I think she branded it the second time around for more general autoimmune. That's a good one. What else is a good one? It depends on, like I said, what is he dealing with? But if it is autoimmune, who else? What else is a good book? And if it's emotional blockages kind of stuff, the one that Keisha Ewers did is on autoimmune, but it's also dealing with a lot of the childhood, adverse childhood events that have led to that. So that's a good one as well. Yeah, give me a little more info and I can give you more on that, Janet. Okay. Hey, Allie just joined. Yeah, Isabel, all you need to have the account set up under mine is just that you're studying with me. That's all. You just tell them you're a student in NEPT. If you're not in NEPT, you just tell them you're an INE, and they'll set you up with an account under mine. Allie says the ACR calls have been amazing. Yes, they are. Totally amazing, Dr. Wilson. So Lynn just put up the link to Keisha Ewers' book, which is Solving the Autoimmune Puzzle. That's a good one as well. Yeah. Allie says she understands now why temperature is more important than blood testing. And they don't teach you that in medical school, do they? They don't talk about the temperature. You know, they may, as an aside, say you can measure temperature, but they don't say it's actually a better indicator, a more sensitive indicator than are the tests. Yeah, just TSH is all they teach about in medical school. That's right. I saw your question in the Q&A, Janet, so we got that. Let's see. All right, anybody else? So, yeah, more questions? Raise your hand, star two. There we go, Denver. Good old Denver. Hi, Denver, how are you? It doesn't say your
warm
name.
And
so
this is
warm
Cynthia.
And sunny? Cynthia,
warm
hi.
And
warm and sunny. Oh, see, and I always make fun of people living in Colorado that they have to deal with cold winters, and here we are, it's 25 and ice on the ground.
Well, here's some perspective. The garbage collector canceled yesterday, and I've lived here about 25 years, and that's never happened. So we had a little ice storm, so we do get it. Anyway, Dr. Reed and Marie, two quick questions for you herbalist types. I had a client comment that the Swedish bitters, you know, that are German made and you can get them most anywhere. She was concerned about senna leaf in there for ongoing use.
Oh, I didn't realize there was senna in there.
It's part of the proprietary extract blend. It's one of maybe 12 ingredients that come up to 9.6 grams. and it's a negligible percentage. But is that a concern?
I think if it's small enough, I mean, if you're taking large doses of senna on a regular basis, then that creates dependency, you know, the bowel dependency, right? But tiny amounts negligible like that, it's probably just in there to balance the bitters and, you know, the warm and the cool and all the other things that they put in there. So that would be my guess, like a formula that's like mostly senna, that's a bowel movement formula. It probably would be a concern for long-term use. Now, if she is concerned, there are other formulas. I personally like David Winston's formula from Herbalist and Alchemist. It's like five herbs, and they all have a very specific meaning for them, you know, a very specific use. I think he's got orange peel. He calls it DOPA, so a dandelion, orange peel. What's the P? I don't remember all of them. But he basically, it's like five different ones, and one of the letters is duplicated, so he just calls it DOPA, just for remembrance. But I don't remember the exact. But you can check that one out. That's the one I personally use, and mainly I guess I'm, you know, happy with his. I like his theory behind when he puts together formulations. He's really looking at balance. But
Good.
Yeah, and switching could be good, right? It has gentian, I'm pretty sure. Switching could be good as well, right? So doing, you know, one for a couple of weeks or a month and doing another one and just switching it up is always a good way to deal with herbs so you don't develop the tolerance and the resistance to the specific therapeutic properties.
Right, and give your taste buds and your taste bugs
some
variety, too.
Some variety, okay, right.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that brings me to the use of calm magnesium as a laxative. And I was on the SIBO advanced training call this weekend, 4 hours, which was really intense.
Yeah.
But the ND, Mona Morstein, do you know her? She's out of Arizona.
I don't know.
She might be interesting for a guest speaker, but she commented on, you know, if you're taking calm as a laxative, it's serving as a laxative and it's going right through us. And so your body's not absorbing the benefits of the magnesium is what I understood her to say.
I don't agree with that. I think what happens when you overdose on magnesium, which is what you tend to do when you're doing larger dose to try to get the laxative effect, your body absorbs as much as it can, and then whatever is over what you need is going to be just excreted out, and you get the laxative effect. And I think that when you do that, what people might find is if they are doing that and they're deficient to begin with in magnesium, the more they take, the less they need to get the laxative effect. So I'm generally a big fan of doing like the bowel tolerance type thing with magnesium. So you just keep increasing it until you get to the bowel tolerance, and then you can back off so you're not like so overdoing it, right? A lot of people just say, okay, I'm just going to take 2 teaspoons of this every night. And they don't like really hone in and pay attention to what's going on in their body. And that, you know, that could be a problem, but I still think it's absorbing. I definitely think it's absorbing.
Okay. And I may have misunderstood her. It was quite an intense 4 hours. So I just wanted to run that back by you.
Yeah.
And then this is actually my second question. That was a tangent on the laxative tied to the senna. Do you ever recommend kombucha therapeutically?
You know, I generally don't, because it does have wild yeast in it. So I think there are better ways to get probiotics, but the kombucha actually has wild yeast. And for people who have a problem with candida, which is a lot of people, can be a problem. Yeah, it may not be a problem for everybody, but most of the time when you're doing like a probiotic replenishment, then usually there's some sort of overgrowth. So I'd be super careful with it.
Okay. Yeah, because it still has a bunch of caffeine and sugar, even if you ferment it for a month, apparently. So
yeah, I mean, it's less. You can tell by that the sugar's gone down a lot, but I don't know how to tell with the caffeine other than, you know, do you get a buzz from it? So I just stay away from it. Even I used to make it myself, and then the more I learned about it, having the wild yeast in it, I said, nah. I stick with Kavita or a coconut kefir. I like Inner Echo, which is a coconut kefir beverage.
Right.
You know, make your own coconut kefir yogurt. Yes, is it? Oh, I love that stuff. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Great folks, too, working on human trafficking, too. I think that's their philanthropy, as I understood it. Okay, those are my quick questions. Thank you, Dr. Rita
Marie. You're so welcome. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, that was Cynthia. Let's go back to the chat. Let's see. Lynn Rose says it's going to be 15 tonight. Oh, I hadn't heard that. Lynn Rose doesn't live too far from me. That doesn't sound good. And Lynn Johnson says it's warming up today up to 13. That sounds bad. No, not UK, unfortunately. That's true. Yeah, it's just definitely US. And he has the same restrictions on the states, right? He can't do New York. I think New York and Rhode Island and New Jersey. But he might be able to do, I was still trying to get an answer from him. He said New York, Rhode Island and New Jersey he couldn't do, but I was trying to get an answer on Maryland because I know most of them can't. And Lynn found another place the other day, which she hasn't gotten back to me on, but she wanted to, I told her to definitely look into, which didn't seem to have the restriction. So I'm curious. Ooh, 70 in San Diego. I'm going to be coming to San Diego on Thursday. Hopefully it'll be warm like that then. I'll be there actually for over a week, so maybe we can get together. I'll be there for a conference the first 3 days, so I'll be totally backed up. But after that, I'll be there for a couple more days. So, and then I go down to Palm Desert to do a talk at a country club. So let's try to hook up. Anybody else in San Diego, just Facebook me and we'll maybe try to hook it up. Yeah. Okay. Good. AZM Solutions. What is that, Lynn? AZM Solutions Sass Morstein? I don't know what that is. Let me know what that is, Lynn. I'm going to do Q&A
again.
That
was the woman that Cynthia was listening to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It helps, I think, because sometimes when we go back, people aren't listening at the same time as reading the chat. So it really does help to put in, like, what the links are for. Because going back, we go, huh? What is that? All right. Okay, let's see. Refresh. No more questions there. No more questions here. Cold there, but not compared to the northern states. Okay. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Cases? Share? Susan. Hey, Susan.
Hi. I have a question. Actually, I have two questions regarding a friend of mine. She's 5 months pregnant and has been diagnosed with Hashimoto's. She's in the VA system, so she's not getting much help with her doctor, and her doctor wants her on T4, and he laughed at her when she suggested, you know, T3 with it. So,
really uneducated. Yep.
I know, right? So she won't go on the T4 without the T3.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, does she have numbers? Like, did she get him to at least run the free T4, free T3 numbers?
No, he thinks that's silly. I'm on the prowl looking for someone for her to see in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But as far as being, I guess my question is, can you talk about being diagnosed with Hashimoto's while pregnant? And then do you go on to T3, T4?
Well, you know, the first thing I would do is, like, why, right? They do tend to, it does tend to aggravate. Being pregnant aggravates that whole process. So people do suddenly find themselves being diagnosed with Hashimoto's when they're pregnant or shortly after they give birth, and then it goes away. So it depends on the numbers, right? I'd like to see if he only measured a TSH, which is the typical measurement, and at least he did the antibodies, which is unusual, right? Most doctors don't even bother with the antibodies. They just see TSH.
Her THS was like 5.5, something like that. But her antibodies, the one that's indicative of Hashimoto's was sky high.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's unusual for them to even measure.
Right, but he didn't do any of the other stuff. So it's like I really don't have enough information to go on. But I'm just, she's coming to me asking me all these questions. But at the same time, it's like, well, I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah. So what I would do is go into the Thyroid Revive and Thrive program, which you should
have access to that. Yet.
All right. So Lynn, let's make sure that Susan gets access, and everybody that joined recently should have access to that. So it's a matter of running a, action.
Yep. I've already talked to Doreen, and within the next week to 10 days, all of that should be taken care of.
Week to 10 days. Yay. Why is it a week to 10 days? I would think it's like a 15 minutes it could be done.
Well.
Right? Just identify the people.
Really.
And give them, it doesn't make sense that we have to wait that long. You probably could use the, that post-ERC where we give them access, that thing after you have a meeting with one of the ERC folks and you click on that. You don't think it's specific to ERC. I think you can actually use that form. And I think you can give access. You could try it on Susan and see if that works. But I'd be curious and ask Doreen, like, well, why a week to 10 days? It's really a matter of clicking on the people and then giving them access. Probably do it in 10 minutes, is my guess. Yeah. So see if that works. Check it out on Susan and see if that works. Because there's a whole section in there on Hashimoto's and all the things. You want to look at her gut, right? You want to look at leaky gut parameters.
And that is a huge issue, and that's what I'm really trying to get her attention on, is the gut. But she's, she's being a little bit stubborn. She wants to spend $2,000 for the Cyrix Array 2, 20, 10, and 5. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do with this information? Are you, do you have to have that first before you do this? Because that $2,000 can go a long way into buying, better foods and supplements and stuff to heal your gut. So am I on the right track? Kind of looking at it.
Yeah, you're totally on the right track. Totally. Because I think that doing all that testing, first of all, she already knows she has antibodies, right? Whether she has other antibodies or not, doing a 5, she could find out. But I mean, all autoimmune diseases have at the core the same basic principles, like leaky gut, heavy metals perhaps. Stress, viral infection, there's all similar things. You might get her to read Isabella Wentz's book, The Thyroid Protocol. She won't read it.
I already tried. She won't read it. She said she'll read articles on the internet, but she won't read a book.
Oh, well, see if you can find an article on it, right?
Right. Well, that's what I told her. I said, go to the website and read everything on the website.
She won't spend the $20 on a book, but she wants to spend $2,000 on testing. That doesn't make too much sense.
I know. I guess, and that's my question is, okay, so how do I work with that mindset? Because she's not well, and she hasn't felt good for years and years and years, but obviously she's not unwell enough yet to really get serious.
Well, you might just do some searching and find a good article, since she'll read articles. You find an article that talks about the connection between leaky gut and Hashimoto's and the importance of healing the gut. And if you don't heal the gut, you can't heal it. There's tons of those articles. I mean, I know that Tom O'Brien's book has a lot of that. You might even go to if you have those books, just go to the references list and pull out a couple of articles. for her to read.
That's a great
idea. It's clear. Yeah, get her to see that that's the thing, right? It's not a matter of more tests. She's got to do the work.
Right.
If she runs a Cyrex 2 and finds out, yeah, she has leaky gut, duh, okay. The new one, the Gut Zoomer, I just got the big box full of all the Gut Zoomer test kits. There's a lot.
Fantastic.
So we should be able to order those. We're set up. Scott was going to put it on the website. I don't know what his status is with that, but there were quite a number of tests I gave him to put up there. So I'll check in with him to see. Now, that does take a while because that's a matter of getting the web guide, I code the pages, and put all the info there.
Right.
That takes a little bit of time. That's a little bit more complicated. But we could probably still do the testing since you're local and you could, you know, pick it up, like when you come to the potluck or something, pick up the kit and the requisition form.
Oh,
he could order it,
okay,
and then just find out what they charge him and charge you that. So, yeah.
Now, that actually might be a great idea because she is also not of the belief that weed is bad. I mean, or let me take that back.
Oh.
She's now thinking that there's this one woman online that's promoting that weed is fine when you're doing sourdough. And,
yeah, these people are ignorant. These people are ignorant. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit better. But if you have an autoimmune disease, especially thyroid, because thyroid has been intimately linked to wheat, you can,
right,
again, find articles, tons of articles. Just do a web search, find Medline articles. Don't find some joker who thinks they know stuff because they read it somewhere, right?
Well, I'm doing Dr. Tom O'Brien's gluten certification program right now. So I just started that. So I feel like now I'm going to be armed. She better watch out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that'll give you some good ammunition. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she's pregnant. She's got to do this, right? She just takes T4. She's putting a Band-Aid over the problem. And who knows if she's
right,
even converting. So without having those numbers, like, tell her to go to Direct
right,
Labs and spend $50. I think this month they're on special. I think the thyroid, the complete, is on special this month. So she could go to Direct Labs, $50, find out what her conversion is, and then show her. All right, if she's converting okay and her T4 is low and her T3 is equally, you know, spaced, right? And you can put it in that little, in the Master Health Tracker, right after the lab testing page is a thing called the thyroid, I don't remember what it's called exactly, but it's a thyroid thing where you put the thyroid numbers in and you see how they line up. And you can tell from that, you know, whether you've got an underconversion, an overconversion, or pretty good. So if she doesn't have an underconversion. Yeah, then you put her numbers in there, but she needs the numbers.
Oh, that's
right,
a great place to start. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, absolutely. Education. All right. Anything else?
I think that'll do it for now. That gives me plenty to go on.
Great. Good luck. Let us know. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so we have Carol in Utah. Oops, I closed your line. I think okay, let me go find you again, Carol. Sorry. There we go. All right, Carol, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, just fine.
I had a question posed to me yesterday by my nurse practitioner when I was in to see her. And she had just gotten tests back from her son who has been very, very ill. And the Epstein-Barr virus was like off the wall high for him, mm-hmm, with like 300 or 400. And he has just had so much depression and anxiety and different things. She wondered what the best supplements would be to just help build him up right now a little bit. So I told her I'd think about it and research on that for her.
Okay, so he's got anxiety, right? And
I don't know all that much about him because it was just posed to me yesterday, but I know that he does have some emotional issues with step family and different things like that.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of underlying stuff there, right? So when you're looking at depression and anxiety and you want to look at what's the root cause, yeah, there's the emotional, right, the emotional intelligence, so to speak, right? How are they being dealt with? Do they have specific emotional stressors in their lives? And if they've got the step family and it's not working well, that's a big emotional trigger. But there's also usually a biochemical trigger as well, right? And so if she's looking for supplements, she's also got to look at what's his diet look like, right? What is he eating? And, you know, if it's a typical kid, right, they're eating a bunch of crap.
No,
eating a bunch of sugar.
His diet has been really good. He actually researches into these things because he just loves natural things. And so it has been good. So it's just kind of baffling to her what's going on with him right now. And I told her I would help her with this. We've been kind of working together with what we've both been learning.
What you've been learning, yeah. Okay, so if he's off of gluten and sugar and processed food and he's eating a whole foods diet, off of the gluten and the dairy and any of the top allergens, then I would be looking at, you know, making sure that he's eating in a calm state, because that's another piece that has a huge impact on how well the nutrients are absorbed. So that's it. Gut microbiome. So I'd be looking at the gut microbiome and making sure that that's balanced. So you'd want to be looking at, you know, the flora. You want to look at, you know, potentially putting him on a good probiotic supplement if he's not already on that. I would say, you know, asking questions about his digestion before you just blanketly say take a probiotic. You want to find out, does he have the risk of possibly having SIBO, which means you have to be careful about which probiotics you'd recommend. And then I would say there's a questionnaire that I've put together, and I think everybody in the NBC program at least
have the questionnaire. I just haven't had time to meet with him, and I thought, this will be good to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is a real good book, too, is The Edge Effect. It's a really good book that has all kinds of questionnaires, and it breaks it down. Is it a GABA imbalance? Is it a serotonin imbalance? Is it dopamine? And particular questions you can ask them, particular supplements and foods that help support it. So that's a good way to go as well. Mm-hmm. Like really get to the heart of it, like what's going on. And sometimes, you know, there's a genetic component to this, right? Some people have a lot of the GAD SNPs, which makes them more prone to GABA deficiency. Right, some of them have the COMT SNPs, which make them more prone to serotonin and dopamine problems. So there's definitely a genetic tendency towards it, and then it's how is it manifesting based on the diet and the lifestyle, and what might be a good diet for someone else might not be the best diet for him, you know, based on which tendencies he has. So. That book is great. That questionnaire, I did it with my son because I was always, like, concerned. He always had, like, this excessive anxiety, like, not anxiety from the standpoint of, like, being all, but he'd worry about things, right? I'm going to get hit in the head and have a hematoma and die in my sleep. You know, all this little stuff that would build up. So when I did his genetic testing, sure enough, he had a ton of these GAD SNPs. So he has more of a tendency towards low GABA. And then when I did the Edge Effect questionnaire with him, he was like, I don't know, 28 for GABA and 5 for serotonin and 3 for dopamine. So he's clearly leading towards a GABA issue. So, you know, we looked at various things that we could do to support him with that.
Uh-huh.
So it might be something to look at as well, you know, just really get into the heart of it. Because it's really hard to say, well, yeah, you can try to give him 5-HTP and B6, and, well, that'll help if he has a serotonin imbalance. And you can give him GABA or, you know, cut down on the glutamate-containing foods if it happens to be a GABA imbalance, right? Anxiety can be definitely linked. And it might be two of them that you need to look at. So I would look at that, and I would look at the questionnaire. Our questionnaire is a little bit shorter, so we get compliance with that on the first run through. And then if we see a tendency towards a particular imbalance, then I would have them do that particular longer assessment, because it is a commitment to do that longer assessment from Edge Effect.
Okay. I do have another question for you, too.
Sure.
I have just been diagnosed with post polio syndrome, and I had polio when I was 5, and working on the questionnaire and, you know, going back and back and back with replies and things, I and determined that a lot of my things happened when I was five, the year that I was five. Mm. And so I'm thinking, okay, I haven't had a chance to really begin working back up, but now I have to be just really, really careful about walking on my foot and how many times I exercise a day. But because most of them have ended up in wheelchairs, and I told my podiatrist, I am not going to end up in wheelchairs. He says, yeah, I know you're not. You're determined enough to find out what to do.
Right.
But so I do a lot of the exercising, weight bearing, and, you know, that I can do with the elastic band. And I've just been listening to my body, and I'm just amazed at what comes up as to what to move.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to work in my circulation, I thought, oh, yay, you know, this is really going to help. But I wondered, you know, post polio, I wondered, is this like, I do have Epstein-Barr too, but it's dormant, I hope, I think. I haven't tested recently.
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of autoimmune things which I'm working on, but I just wondered, do you know anything about the polio, post-polio being related to like some of the viruses and the, you know, like the Epstein-Barr?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my first thought was that, you know, really looking at antiviral stuff just to, you know, I don't know how dormant those polio viruses become, and whether they still can be active. And the same thing with Epstein-Barr, you may think it's dormant, but it can be actively help, in effect, you know, having a negative effect on your body. So I would say, you know, really looking at some antiviral type protocols, herbal protocols, and gut cleaning, of course, right? Getting
I've
that
been
your
working
gut
on
to
that
be
for clean. Quite a while. So I probably didn't. I'm not going to get it as bad as some post polio victims do and end up in a wheelchair, just because I've been working on my gut for so long.
Yep. Yep.
Because I do have.
Yep, and I'd look at maybe some of the antiviral kind of protocols. That could be very helpful. Liver support type protocols, because that really affects the viral load.
Yeah, I have been working on that, and I'm making so much progress.
Great.
But I have had to kind of cut down on anything that stresses me at all. So I haven't even been able to work your program, which I signed up for a long time ago and I knew I was supposed to. But I'm actually a therapeutic nutritional counselor, and, you know, so I had some of the background things by listening to you sometimes, but I just haven't been able to go forward. Like, I think I'm well enough now that I can go forward more. But
yeah, take your time with it, right? Just give yourself an hour a week, right, to work on it, and then if you get involved.
Yeah. To do that, I thought, Marie probably doesn't even think I care, but I do. And I've been doing, I have a lot of studies that I've done since I certified 3 years ago. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm bringing this all together. And when I listened to you, I thought, I need her. I need to get to know her. She just resonates with me. So I was really grateful to sign up for this.
And which did you sign up for? Which program? Is it IRSPT, CMDS?
It's the IME. IME.
So, the whole thing, the NEPT, I didn't know.
No, I'm not in the NEPT. I'm in the IMD right now.
So like IRSPT and CMDS, one of those, the insulin resistance or the digestion.
Yeah, it's the digestion. Insulin.
Digestion.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I would say, you know, just set aside an hour a week, half an hour twice a week, right, if your stamina tends to, you know, be small, and just work on it for a little bit of time each week, and it'll build. Because a lot of us are, you know, high achievers, and we think, oh, I don't have time to spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day on this, so I'm not gonna do it. But instead, just get started and just lay it out. One hour a week, half an hour twice a week, you know, something like that. That feels like it's not gonna be stressing you out.
Yeah,
and you just keep learning.
I decided I can do that now, so I'm excited to go forward somewhat.
Good.
There was a while in October, November, December where I got like Alzheimer type things and Parkinson's, and I didn't even know what month it was. I couldn't figure out whether it was, you know, October or December or November. It was just awful, and my kids were really scared for me, and they're just, no, it's okay, you know, I'm going to get over this. And I realized it was just a bacterial thing that was holding me back, and so I did go on antibiotics because the naturals weren't doing what I needed, and it helped. So I thought, okay, now I just have to build up after the antibiotics.
Now builds up, right, really replenish your microbiome.
But I don't very often do that. I just thought, I needed. I just felt like that was important. So I actually went on two bouts of it. The first one didn't take it. I still was so confused. And I thought, oh, now I know what they go through when they have Alzheimer's. It was really amazing. So this is all good. It's all for my learning. And I will share with you when I find all the things that I
see. Yes. Please do keep us posted because that's unusual. We don't see that all that often, right? So the post-polio, I mean. So it'd be really good to see what you find that works because there's a lot of people you could help out there.
Yeah, there are. I'm so excited for when I'm well enough that I can really get going. I'm actually going to start teaching though, because I think right now I know the basics. So whether they have anything that they have that's going type thing with them, it's just a dis-ease and they can do this for
exactly.
That.
So. That's exactly.
Start doing teaching the basics, even though I'm not.
I think, you know, if you can do that without stressing yourself out, and know that you're always like going to be 3 or 4 steps ahead of anybody else that's out there. I mean, it's rare. If you're not, then you pass those guys on to someone who is. But for the most part, you know already more than they do. And if you're a few steps ahead of them, there's a lot you can do to help them and support them. Just be careful you don't overstress yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Marie. That just helps me to have you let me know that this is what you feel too, because I was just a little bit nervous about going forward, but I just feel like I have so much knowledge. I need to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And just do it in a way that doesn't overtax your own system. That's all.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
that. You're welcome. You're so welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
All right, so we have Susan, another Susan, in Austin. I'm trying to close this. There we go, and open yours. Susan Stevens, Austin. Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Where in Austin are you?
Oh, I live in South Austin off of First and Slaughter area.
You get the ice and snow today, too?
I did. Had to have my husband drive me to work. I'm a nurse.
Oh,
okay. I didn't have a choice. I had to go to work.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's about the few things. I know a lot of things closed down, but the hospitals can't. And, you know,
that's right.
Yeah. Cool. So how can I support you today?
Well, I had a couple questions. One was that at the conference, I won the Dutch test. And
oh, cool.
I did it, and I sent it in, and then they called me, and they said that I had to have a practitioner to send the results to, and I gave them your name, but I don't know the results still of it. I think it was sent to you. They said, yeah, they knew who you were, and they, you know, they sent all the results to you. So,
okay. Do you know when? We'll have to look into it. Do you know approximately? Well, we'll look back and see.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly because I'm at work. It's probably they called me within maybe 3 weeks, within the last, you know, couple weeks.
The last few weeks.
And told me, yeah, that they were sending it to
us. Let me just look
Dutch.
So. Okay, let me just look. See if I can find it. If not, we'll have Scott who gets them directly.
Okay.
You just look D-U-T-C.
I'm looking for it.
Okay, good. Susan Stevens, here we go. Scott, it came in on the 12th.
Yay.
Oh, he said he sent it to you. I wonder. May not have gone through because of the Gmail issues. I'm going to forward this to you, but I'm going to have to forward it from my personal Gmail just because we've been having trouble with sending from our Dr. Rita Marie's. So I'm sending this to you, Susan, S-U-S-A-N. Let me see. Is it Quick Susie 54? Is that your?
Either short one or short one.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll send that to you.
Gmail.com?
At Gmail, yeah, Quick Susie 54. Okay, I'm sending that to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
No.
Dad has his computer plugged into the Wi-Fi, so mine's slept here.
Plugged directly into the Wi-Fi?
I hear somebody's dealing with a Wi-Fi issue.
What's the password?
All right, I'm trying to get this. Okay. Okay. Yeah, he usually sends them right away, but like I said, we've been having some issues. So I've got it. Susan, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it looks like you've got low estrogen and progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
DHEA. Is that okay if I read it now? I mean, I'll just
yes,
give you
please.
Some general ideas. It's got, you've got low estrogen, low progesterone, low DHEA, low metabolized cortisol, total amount, but reasonable amount that you're using, which says to me that you're going to be using it up really quickly. So the total amount that you're making is in the very below the bottom of the range, but the amount that you're using is within the range. So it may appear, if you did a regular cortisol test, that you're fine, but in reality, you're draining your resources, draining it. So looking at the, okay, pregnenolone, yeah, progesterone super low. Oh, this is the new report. Okay, let's see, androgens. Testosterone's below as well, so everything is low.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm looking to see what your metabolites are. I mean, the good news is of the metabolites, which are the breakdown products, you've got the highest level you have is of the protective one, but you're very low, you're good amount, low amount of the dangerous one, which is the 4-hydroxy, but the 16-hydroxy, which is a mixed blessing. It's got really protective protection for bone loss, right? Yours is very low. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's also dangerous if it's too high, but yours is way too low. Let's see what else. Again, because the total amounts are so low, it's hard to really, I think you just need to get all of it up. I'm looking to see your methylation. Hard to tell because it's so low, but your methylation is kind of equal to your, so it doesn't look like a methylation issue, but again, harder to tell. Let me see. Yeah, your free cortisol. Yeah, you're on the verge of burnout here is what I'm seeing. Your melatonin is low, not super low, but the range is 10 to 85, and yours is 9.8, mm-hmm. so you're a little below the range. But I'd really like to see it somewhere in the middle. Do you have sleep issues?
Yes, I do. That's been a big issue. Is I wake up every night at 2 o'clock
yeah.
and go back to sleep. So, and I knew a lot of this. I don't know quite how to, I did get that progesterone cream from Annika Becca, and I've been using that every night since, because I figured that
is
was
that the one that's progesterone plus pregnenolone? Because you probably
well, I got
need some pregnenolone.
I got both of her creams. I got the Java, and I started using that, and that, you know, and then I got the actual progesterone type cream that you just, you know, put on your forearm. And
right.
I've been using that.
And when did you start that? Was it before this test was done or after?
No, I started afterwards because I wanted
after
to.
After the test. You wanted to make sure you got it after it.
Yeah, do the test and then start because I had ordered it while I was at the conference. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I need to do this test first and then and see where I stand without it and
right.
then go from there. And that's and see, I am a breast cancer survivor,
mm-hmm.
and I had a total mastectomy in 7 years ago now. And I knew, and I've had hot flashes continuously. You know, I've never not, you know, once,
mm-hmm.
you know, I ended up getting the breast cancer because I was taking the estradiol. You know, I gambled and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took me off all of estrogens, and so I, you know, I don't know how, you know, most doctors won't even give you anything because, you know,
right.
and they wanted me to get something to take more estrogen, and I wouldn't do that. So I knew that, you know, everything was kind of off whack, and I was just trying to get it, you know, back where it should be. Of course, I've been under a lot of stress last year because we had my grandson committed suicide at age 16, and then my daughter and her granddaughter, they just kept, you know, trying the same thing, and it's just been a year of hell.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What a hardship.
And yes, and you know, so I knew the stress thing, and then of course my son's in prison because he's taking drugs, and it was just one thing after another, you know. But
oh,
I've been,
no.
You
oh,
know,
no, you've got a lot going on.
You know, I'm you know, working really hard, you know, trying to get, you know, eat a lot of greens, and I, you know, don't do the anything that with the over the counter, you know, the steroids in them, you know, like the meats and the milk and the, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
So I'm real conscious about that. And I've studied a lot, but I know it was a lot of it's stress, and I'm doing all the stress stuff. I bought a infrared sauna. I use that, and I do the red light, and I I don't know if you know of Ari Whitman. You know, I use his program with the energy, but it's just, you know, been a, and now I'm doing another program with just trying to get my mental state under control. And I feel like I'm making progress, but I just don't know where to go with the bio, you know, they talk about, I've listened to a lot of Dr. Sarah Godfrey's stuff, you know, that's why I tried with all the vegetables and the fiber and all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, not the red meat, and, but it doesn't seem like that's been enough. You know, I need something else to get all the testosterone up, because, and cortisol and, you know, all my hormones are out of whack. So,
So there's a few things that you can try, because, you know, having had the history of breast cancer, you got to be careful. I think that estriol is a type of estrogen that you could safely do, because it's the protective one, estriol. So, that would be something. I think Anna Kabeca might have an estriol cream. Or something like that, but it's also something that you can, you know, if you can get a doctor to prescribe, you can do that. I think Bezwecken, Bezwecken, they used to have an estriol cream or suppositories that you could do, vaginal suppositories. I would be looking at your cruciferous vegetables as protective, higher levels of, you know, the broccoli, kale, those sorts of things.
I eat a lot of that. I mean, we're, you know, but I've been doing it more now. You know, I've increased, do the broccoli sprouts. I do, you know, I do like 2 pounds of greens a day, you know, so.
Beautiful. And this is all since you had this test done, or did you start that before?
Well, I was doing it, but I've had problems with, not sticking to it, but I've been more diligent now, and I seem like I'm getting with the stress under control, you know, because I had a tendency of doing the binge eating, and you know, pretty much stopped that. So
great. It sounds like you're on the right path. You just need a little bit of fine tuning. Based on this, and not seeing any other records, you know, knowing with a history of breast cancer, I would be careful about any estrogens, but progesterone is a good thing that you're doing. I would look into estriol, like whether it's suppositories or cream, because that could help bring the levels up. You know, DHA and testosterone, you know, the studies are mixed in terms of risk, increasing risk for breast cancer. So, you know, you'd really have to research that to make sure you feel comfortable with that. But I think starting here, pregnenolone sometimes can be very helpful. Again, you'd want to research to see if there's any contraindications to your specific condition, having had the breast cancer. I would say, melatonin. Melatonin is actually protective. The studies show that melatonin is the protective factor in breast cancer. So if you've had that history and you've had melatonin and sleep issues for a long time, low melatonin, then that could be a really good thing. You know, start with 2-3 milligrams a day,
okay,
and go from there. And then, you know, keep doing these stress things multiple times a day to keep the stress levels
mm-hmm.
down. I would look at some of the nutrients that support your adrenals. I would look at vitamin C, making sure you're taking at least, you know, 1 gram 3 times a day. I'd look at vitamin B5, which helps convert cholesterol into the steroid hormone. So I don't know where your cholesterol levels are. I see a lot of folks who have really low sex hormones but really high cholesterol because they're not converting. And vitamin B5 can be really helpful in doing that conversion. Pantothenic acid is the other name for vitamin B5. I usually recommend somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 milligrams 3 times a day. There are some herbs to support adrenal function. Again, I think ashwagandha. I don't think any of these have any negative precautions for breast cancer, but I would look them up to make sure. Those are the ones that, you know, ashwagandha, tulsi, you know, holy basil, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, it's really just supporting your adrenals and giving yourself that extra, the progesterone and maybe the estriol as a supplement. And those would be good starting places for this.
What about the testosterone? I always felt, you know, because I can't, you know, I eat a lot of bone broth, I do a lot of collagen, but I have no muscle mass and tissue, you know, my skin is just, you know, I should have the tightest skin possible for the years that I've been doing all the bone broth and all the collagen, but it doesn't seem to affect it.
Yeah, it could be the testosterone. Again, you want to make sure that there's no contraindications. You would need an MD to prescribe testosterone.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to ask about a functional medical doctor in the area. My primary doctors, I just cannot with, you know, you mentioned breast cancer and you have to do it with your gun, with your, the cancer doctor, and she won't at all because she wanted me to take these, you know, nasty pills that were going
to
rob me of more. So I thought,
you cannot take those estrogen lowering drugs. I mean, your estrogen is rock bottom right now.
Yeah.
That would not be good.
I mean,
there's a few of them that I can recommend. There's what we were just talking about earlier, Alan Hopkins. You can look him up. He has a functional medicine practice. He's very knowledgeable about all the lab testing and everything. So he's here in Austin. Yeah. Alan Hopkins.
Okay.
There's Ann Shippey. She's a long, long waiting list because she specializes in mold toxicity. So she has a very long waiting list. So you may not be able to get in to see her right away. There are a few others that, who else would I recommend? I would start with Alan and see. And if he doesn't want to do it, he can certainly refer you to somebody else.
Okay.
But he's very knowledgeable about the food. But I would look at the melatonin. Melatonin and estriol are the two things that, based on this test, I would be looking at. And then those nutrients, the B5, the vitamin C, and then maybe the tulsi and ashwagandha to help support those adrenals.
Okay.
Right. And for the testosterone, you need somebody to recommend it. There are some herbs that can help make more testosterone, which could be helpful. One is called pine pollen extract. But again, you know, making sure that that's not contraindicated in cases of breast cancer. I know most people are very, very cautious, overly cautious in some cases. Like estriol, they don't know about estriol. They don't really realize that estriol is protective. The other two can be more proliferative and you'd have to stay away from them. But the estriol can be very helpful and protective, as is progesterone.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'm not giving you medical advice. You know, this is just education.
Right. I understand all that. Okay. Well, that really does help. And I think I have started feeling a little bit better, but
good.
But I'm doing a lot of the psych stuff right now because of the overwhelmingness of the last year.
You need it big time.
And I'm seeing a counselor, and I'm also seeing I have an appointment with a naturopathic psychiatrist, because I didn't want to take their medicine that they wanted me to give him. And I don't know, Jarvis, I think, you know, his name was, that they recommended.
That's
that I could see how he's doing, but he's supposed to do all naturopathic as far as your.
Oh, great. He may be able to help with the testosterone, et cetera. So.
Yeah, I'm going to see him on the next month, and I'm maybe, you know, him being actually a doctor. In psychiatry, he might be able to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Too. So,
fantastic.
Oh, one last question. I work PRN so I could work my schedule, but I need my schedule like 6 weeks ahead of time. Do we know ahead of time when you're having these classes? Because it seemed like that when I've seen them, it was days that I worked. I mean, do you have them projected over?
Yeah, we actually have them laid out over the next year.
I need the date so I can actually be off.
Yeah, if you go onto the site where it says schedule, there should be something that says month at a glance.
Okay.
And that would, you could go out as far as the end of the year and see when these are scheduled.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's, I will definitely do that because I do want to be part of it, and I just seems like both times I've missed them, so I think, well, I need to plan my year better, so.
Yeah, and we floated up the whole year, so it should be, you know, much easier. Sometimes we'd always had these planned a whole year in it. I mean, we just always had them on Thursdays at whatever time it was. We've switched things around because I was ending up having my first Thursday of the month going from, like, noon till 8 o'clock at night straight through with calls. And I said, you know what? I could use a bathroom break. I could use a lunch break. Maybe a dinner break. Maybe we need to spread these calls out a little bit. So we did.
Okay. And I joined, part of your program during that, and I'm working on it. But I had another question. I remember in one of the conferences they talked about that you know, when you do that cooking, do you actually have something still at your home, or do you have a potluck, or is that something that you still do or not do?
We do. It's the last, usually the last Saturday of every month. It changes every now and then when we travel. It always changes in November, December because of the holidays. But, it's the fifth of the month. If you go to drritamarie.com/meetup, it'll show you the lists there. And then in the afternoon of those, we always have the cooking shows. We usually don't do those for the public unless people want to come and help. And we usually have a couple of people that come and help us with those. So you're welcome to do that if you want to, you know, assist us in getting things ready and helping us set things up. You can come to that live. But those are online. You can watch it from home, too.
Yeah, I've seen them online over the years, but I was wanting to do it where I could actually do the potluck and actually get to know people that are in the community and have that camaraderie.
Absolutely.
I just needed to find out when and where and how.
Usually the last Saturday of every month, the fourth, but the last. And there's other people on here who come on a regular basis, another Susan from Lockhart, and then there's who else is usually there? Lynn Rose is usually there. Every now and then, Linda Beer Johnson's in town, and she comes. But, so that could be good.
Okay. I'm very interested in that, too. So,
absolutely.
And you said if I just look up Meetup?
If you go drritamarie.com/meetup. drritamarie.com/meetup.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. I don't see any more hands up. Let me close Susan's line. Why is this not closing? Okay, there we go. And then I'll go to the Q&A. I think I saw a couple more questions come in. Yeah, we have a couple more. Kim, What are some good plant-based proteins for getting into ketosis? So there are proteins. You have to be careful with too much protein because that can pull you out of ketosis. So you don't want to be doing more than a total of about 50 to 60 grams a day of protein to stay in ketosis for a small woman. If you're a larger, it's usually half your body. It's usually based on your weight, but it's also based on your lean weight. So if you weigh 150 pounds, but you're overweight, then you probably still need around 50 to 60. But if you're 150 pounds and you're an athlete and you're all Amazonish, it may be 75. Right. So as far as good plant-based proteins, I find personally that I get into ketosis very easily, and it's not a matter of taking good protein. It's really a matter of having enough fat in the diet and also not as many carbohydrates. So I would be careful about proteins. I'm sure there's great ones, Sacha Inchi, pea protein, Warrior Food, which has a combination of pea and hemp and cranberry. I mean, you get cranberry by itself. There's a ton of them, a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. Paulo, curious if you could speak for a moment on organic versus inorganic minerals. Example, can we get our microbes convert inorganic to organic? Can we utilize inorganic minerals from mountain water, or are they just beneficial as a buffer in our GI? What is it about inorganic minerals that can be dangerous, if at all? Say, cooking with an iron pan, for example. Perhaps inorganics are only dangerous, but when the gut's leaky. Say, synthetic calcium supplements, for example, clogging up the body and binding its receptors, blocking organic minerals from utilizing them, depositing into joint and found stuck in muscle belly upon autopsy, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So I think a big part of it is that when the minerals are organically bound, then we pull off the organic carrier and we're able to utilize the minerals and they can get absorbed better. As far as dangerous, you know, some of the things you mentioned are things that are reported, right? So getting stuck in muscle bellies, getting stuck at joints. So people with frozen shoulder, et cetera, end up with calcium deposits in their shoulders. I would say, you know, build up. There's a couple of books on the calcium hoax, I think is one of them. Thomas Levy, I think, wrote one where he speaks a lot about that. So you might want to check out that book and get into the details on that. I think organic minerals, meaning they're coming from plants or they are organically bound, right? So ionically bound. So ionic minerals, so you can get liquid minerals that are like ionically bound, and they're easy to get in because they're in ionic form, which is a form that the body picks up. I think the idea with the inorganics is whatever they're bound to is not easily cleaved by the body, and we get a buildup. We just get these buildups, and it can't be really well absorbed. That's my understanding. And I don't know that the microbes can actually convert them. Janine says, I have a client with Graves' disease. It looks like Graves' disease with a goiter. Any herbs I should be careful with? Yeah, ashwagandha. Have not talked with the client yet to go and get a history, starting with digestion and stress. Well, always, because Graves is a autoimmune disease. Graves is a hyperthyroid condition. So anytime somebody is hyperthyroid, you want to watch for things like ashwagandha, which actually increases thyroid function. So you want to be careful about ashwagandha. Things that can be helpful in people with Graves, in addition to, of course, calming down the autoimmune response, are things like lemon balm. Lemon balm has been found to help to decrease the thyroid function. Large quantities of cabbage juice can be helpful. And I mean large quantities. I don't mean, you know, you have like a little bit of cabbage in your daily juice. I mean like therapeutic large doses, like a quart a day, can be very helpful in bringing down the function. And of course, everything that we talk about for autoimmune to bring down the antibody reaction. So healing leaky gut, like you said, is super important. Checking for heavy metals, looking at stress, looking at viral load, looking at stomach acid, because low stomach acid can contribute to autoimmune disease. So you're very smart to start with digestion and stress. But yeah, I would say the one to be careful about is ashwagandha. Good questions. All right. So, Laura, what does low cholesterol mean? 129, HDL 89, LDL 29. How can I address this? Well, you know, some people would say that that's not a big issue. I think that 129 is on the low side. I always like to see, you know, somewhere around 150. I would be looking at what are their sex hormones doing, like doing a Dutch test to see if this is actually impacting. So it could be. So oftentimes it's like they don't have enough fat in their diet. I don't think they have to eat cholesterol. Body will make cholesterol, but it has to have the building blocks in terms of fatty acids to be able to make it. So looking at how much fat do they eat, you know, somebody who's on a super, super low fat diet might not be getting enough. But here's the thing, their HDL is really good in this regard, HDL 89. I'd want to see what their triglycerides are as well. So, you know, 129 as the total, I'm thinking you're saying HDL is 89, LDL is 29. It's a very low LDL, but again, I would look at, I would probably first look at their sex hormones to see if they're having problems with it. Because the problem with 2-0 a cholesterol is low sex hormones and low brain function. So if they're having any kind of MS, myelination disease, sluggish refluxes, reflexes, anything that would imply that the myelin sheaths around the brain are impaired, then that's an issue, but it could be just fine. It could be just fine. So it's very individualized. You want to see how it's manifesting. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen LDL at 29. So that's pretty low. How do you address it? Like I said, you want to look at why, and then look at do they have enough fat in their diet and increase that. And there's a lot more questions, obviously, with just that little bit. It's hard for me to say more. All right, so let me see. All right, the calcium hoax PDF. Oh, okay, cool. Let me see. Paula says he thinks that the David Winston might have reformulated it. I'm looking at it now. Artichoke leaf, that was the A, dandelion, gentian, angelica, orange peel, peppermint. Yeah, I think it was the DOPA plus gentian. It looks like the same as what I recognize it or remember it to be. Looks the same. Artichoke leaf, dandelion, gentian, angelica, orange peel, peppermint. I like that one. Okay, let's see. Let me see if there's anything else. We got the your lab work. Oh, and Lynn just posted a hypothyroid mom, leaky gut, the missing piece in many autoimmune diseases. Yeah, there's tons of articles like that. I would, you know, I always like to look at the source, right? I like to look at the actual Medline research because there's a lot of people who misinterpret things. But, I mean, still, there's just a lot of good stuff. Searching for more info on Graves' disease with a goiter. Okay. All right, we saw that. Looks like Tony is the name of the book. Yeah, The Edge Effect. I love that book. It's a really good book. I bought it on Amazon Marketplace for like $3. All right. So monthly changed to Tuesday. And most months I think it was, but it varied based on, you know, travel schedule and other stuff. Lynn, maca is an excellent addition to a healthy nutrition program post-cancer, especially Mighty Maca Plus, as all the other superfoods. Yeah, definitely can be helpful. Let's see, what else? Okay, I got Laura's. Janine says, I wish she lives closer. I wish, too. I wish everybody lives closer. She can come to my monthly events. It's really nice when I get to see the people who are coming in. Yeah. So Paulos has all agreed inorganic minerals are much larger chunks and have no chance of being broken down, especially with low HCl. There's a fine line in the Brighton Baby book, which looks amazing, by the way. It claims our microbes do convert, but it's the only source I've found thus far. Always look when somebody claims something in a book for what's their reference. Do they have a reference that's in some kind of peer-reviewed journal? Like, you can't just have somebody make it up. That's the only thing I would be aware of. Janine says, I want to know about Brazil nuts. How many a day to help with antibodies? Studies have shown, so selenium in the neighborhood of 400 micrograms a day have been found to lower antibodies significantly over a 3-month period. And that would be for Brazil nuts. Oh, I don't see, let's see. I'm going to go through these questions and I'll go back to the questions, the hands up. I didn't see any hands up when I left there. Yeah, so Paula says, I thought the greatest thing about adaptogens is that they adapt. So interesting to know that that's not always the case in ashwagandha and grapes. Yes, that's absolutely true. So some of them have a specific thing that you want to make sure that you're careful about. Oh, okay. Laura, how do you do it? You go star 2 if you're on the telephone, and that will help. I'll look for you on the phone, and I'll open you. All right, let me see. Yeah, you have to be on the phone or, you know, on the web call as opposed to webcast. Let's see. So I see, I don't see Laura. Is it Chino Hills, California, Laura? Make a comment and say if that's you. It says Laura in Chino Hills. I don't see your hand up, but I can open up your line. And then I have Martha and I have Jane. So I'm going to go there. I'm opening Martha. There we go. Hi, Martha.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You staying warm out there? Are you dealing with the snow and ice like we are?
Lots of sleet.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah. But I don't know. Good. Stay warm. I'm drinking lots of tea.
Yes, I have too. Hey, I have someone who has a double hernia. And I would like to know where you would think the best place to start to help him.
So when you say double, you mean both sides, left and right? Is that what you mean? Or do you mean like
left
you
and right.
Okay. Got it. This is a tough one, okay, because it's actually a physical defect in the intestinal wall and in the stomach wall, actually, where the we're having the intestine popping out through. So it's not so simple for nutrition. I mean, certainly anything that improves collagen, right? So amino acids would be important. Manganese, which is important for increasing collagen formation. Vitamin C, healthy diet. But, you know, that's not going to be one that's so easy to turn around. It's usually a surgical intervention. All of me, my sisters and brothers and I had this when we were infants, and my mom learned pretty easily, quickly, how to, what's called reduce it, you know, push it back in. But it only did that for so long, right? You know, you push it back in, but then she had, because she was trying to save us from having to have surgery so young. I actually had to have surgery on it when I was 2 months old. So, I mean, had she known more about nutrition, maybe, I don't know. But it's a genetic thing that people have a defect. Like, we have 9 children in our family, and I think 8 of the 9 had this and had to have surgery on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you may be able to look and see if there's some other things. I mean, certainly ab strengthening kind of things and collagen support, but it's not something that I would feel like super confident can be altered via diet and lifestyle and supplementation.
Do you have a surgeon that you would recommend?
No. Those guys I try to stay away from. So, yeah. And you're talking in Houston? Is this person in Houston?
Yes.
Yeah. Who could you go and check out? You know, I would find a functional medicine doctor and just ask them what they think, if they have any experience with this functionally? And if not, do they have a surgeon that they trust? Because, you know, whenever the surgery, you always want to make sure that you're helping people to prepare for the surgery properly and then recover from the surgery in terms of nutrients and support. But also, there's this woman, her name is Carol Daly, and she put together this hypnosis program to help people through any surgery and to help the body really align and heal. And she does this self-hypnosis that you listen to. And one of our team members, I gifted that to her when she was having to have surgery for a busted ankle that was displaced and all this. And she said it was amazing, amazing what that did in terms of her ability to heal. She's healed way faster than they expected her to heal from that. So that's something to look into as well. And then all the nutrients, I think Lynn posted in the INE group or the NEPT, I don't remember which, but she posted in one of the groups, might have been ERC as well, where she put in, like, here's some of the nutrients that we recommend for healing from surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I put it in one of the groups because Karen Osborne recently had to have surgery because she busted her leg really badly and had to have immediate surgery. And I put together a protocol for her. And, boy, she is healing like gangbusters compared to what they expected. So those are important things.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking. I wish I had more to say.
I'll keep researching.
Yeah, keep researching. If you find anything, sure, be sure to let us know, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Artha.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Jane had her hand up, and now she's gone. I'm going to open up Laura and see if that's the same Laura. Is this you, Laura, who said on the chat that you wanted to ask a question?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Well, so I just wanted, I asked the question about the low cholesterol.
Oh, yeah,
and,
right.
So, yeah, all the sex hormones are really low, and thyroid is up, which, I mean, like, just happened. And so what does all that mean?
Okay, so with the sex hormones low, then the chances are good it's because the cholesterol is low. The thyroid, when you say up, do you mean the TSH is up or that
yes.
The thyroid function is hyper?
No, I'm sorry. Just the TSH has gone from 1.7 to 3.5 in a matter of like 4 or 5 months.
Okay, that's a big jump. Has she been checked, he or she? Is it he or she?
It's actually me.
Oh, so, it's you. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Well, then it's easier for me to ask questions then. So what was I going to ask you? Have you had the antibodies checked, the thyroid antibodies?
Yes. My TPO is, that is normal. Let me go to the page.
It should be zero.
It's my thyroglobulin antibody that's 29.
Okay. Right. So you do have an antibody issue. When there's an antibody issue, it can cause fluctuations in TSH. So you may not know because you don't test it every week, right, that it goes up and down. But if it went up that quickly, it says to me it may be because of the antibodies, right? It's an autoimmune response. But in terms of the cholesterol, how's your fat in your diet? Do you eat a real low-fat diet?
I don't. And I eat meat. I don't eat a lot of meat, but
You eat some.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not like you're staying away. I'd be looking at liver function.
Okay.
Because the liver is where cholesterol is made.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, if you're eating it, I would expect it to be high. So it's being broken down somehow. And has it always been this low, or is this recent as well?
Well, it's always been like, it's not been much high. The highest I've ever had it is 140.
Okay, so it's always been low.
Yeah. But this is like really low. And then like the LDL cholesterol, my doctor was kind of freaking out thinking I've never seen anybody with 29.
No, I've never seen anybody with 29 either. Yeah, so let's see. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say that that I feel different too. I mean, like all these numbers have gone down. I mean, I haven't tested the sex hormones up until recently, but it was because I felt really bad. I felt fabulous. And then all of a sudden I just kind of felt bad. And so like the cholesterol went down, all the other things went down. So, I mean, I'm working on my liver. So I guess I just wanted to ask if there was something else.
Yeah. I'd be working on the liver and the gut, especially since there's an autoimmune, looking at leaky gut and looking at liver pathways. That's what I would be looking at. I think, how much fat do you eat? You said you eat meat on a regular basis or just every now and then?
No, I eat it. I would say every day. I wouldn't say a lot of it, but
yeah, but just
you know,
a little bit every day.
At some point, and I eat coconut milk and avocado and you know all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
there's something in the pathway for converting and making the cholesterol.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, I'd have to sit down and look at that pathway to see where it could be breaking down. But it's a sudden drop. You didn't have a 29 indefinitely, you know, in the past. So what else? What else has changed in terms of stressors in your life or diet changes?
Well, I started feeling bad about a year ago, and I've traced it back to a particular incident that was very devastating to me. And then there's been some things that I've just carried. And just recently, like in the last few weeks, I've dealt with, I mean, I like recognized it and dealt with some of those things. And I feel so much better.
Great.
I mean, just like, you know, I feel like I'm alive. I was hanging on there for a while.
Yeah.
But
tough. When was this test taken that you got the 129 and the 29?
That was, let me see, it was pretty recently in September.
September, okay. And then this recent reconcile of this issue was recently, like within the last month or so or what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the last couple weeks. So.
Okay. So it could have shifted. It could have changed. Yeah, let me think. I would look at some of the liver pathways. I would look at supporting your liver. You said you're supporting your liver. How are you doing that?
Just with basically with food, but, you know, dandelion root and, beets and, but like, you know, a lot of those kind of things.
Okay.
And
so you're doing
as far,
a lot of that.
Yeah, but then also the homeopath I'm seeing has me on some on supplements to a liver well, you know, different things to help me detox it.
Help support the liver. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And then so if you took them in September, I would be, if you're, especially if you're feeling better, I would go ahead and test again. You know, cholesterol is easy, right? That's an easy $25 panel, just the regular lipid panel, just to see and see if it's improved. The other thing, oh, how about your liver enzymes? Did they test those? Like ALT, AST, those sorts of things?
I don't think they tested that. Let's see. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Okay, the ALT is, no, the, wait a minute. No, they didn't test that.
No.
Oh, okay. Yes, they did. Here it is. 16. Okay,
ALT
that's good.
Is 16 and AST is 20.
Okay, perfect. What about LDH or alkaline phosphatase?
62.
Alkaphos, okay. And then what about LDH?
What is LDH?
Sometimes they don't. Lactate dehydrogenase.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that.
That one. Okay, so your alkaline phosphatase is a little on the low side. They wouldn't flag that, but from a functional perspective, it could be low zinc or B6.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to up those
okay.
and see if that could be helpful. And B6 can help in a lot of pathways, so both of those could be very helpful.
Okay.
You know, plus the liver is what activates and vitamins, so stores them and then activates them when needed. So if the liver is depressed, it's not functioning at full, it could be shunting those vitamins down a different pathway and you're not getting the activated forms or not releasing them from storage. So I'd look at that.
Okay.
And then are you taking any digestive enzymes?
Yes. I take digestive enzymes, sometimes HCL, you know, actually my stomach is doing much better than it has been in a long time.
Good. Okay. So it sounds like things are on the mend. So you might want to just get that test done since we're looking at 4 months ago, right? September, October, November, December, January, 4 months ago, that it could be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if we're looking at a therapeutic effect, I like to retest in 3 months.
Yeah.
So okay. I would retest that and see. And if it's still low, then I think looking at the hormones, did you get tested as a Dutch test or did you get tested as a serum?
Serum.
Test. Serum. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were all like pretty much non-existent.
Okay.
And up until, but I just went through menopause. I'm not sure. This hormone menopause thing is a new, or sex hormone menopause thing is a new thing
yeah.
for me. And
yeah.
so, woo!
Did they have are you having symptoms? Hot flashes, irritability,
no.
crankiness?
No. Nope.
Okay. Okay.
I have no symptoms.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd make sure that you're consistent with digestive enzymes, especially when you're eating fat, you know, something with good lipase levels to break down the fat. And let's see what they are now. See if it's improved. And then looking at the pathways, there's a list I have in one of my presentations of the causes of low cholesterol. And I think I've covered all of them, but there may be a few others that I missed. I'd have to go back and look at my slide presentation and see what some of the others might be. Lynn mm-hmm. might remember.
So I have another question is that actually about this time, it's like I stopped digesting fat. So.
Oh, what does that mean?
Like, how did it present?
Yeah, what makes you think that?
Well, because my bowels totally changed.
Like, are they light colored, sandy colored stools?
Yes, light, okay. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I have to go to the bathroom right now.
Okay, so there, that might be part of this issue. And is that still going on now, or has this happened somewhere in the same neighborhood of time?
It was happening when I had the test.
It was happening, and now it's not so much.
Right.
Okay. Yep. That could be it, right? Just right there. Did you then start taking digestive enzymes more? You still have a gallbladder, right? That's a question.
I do. I do have a gallbladder, and I had always taken digestive enzymes, but what I added was it's called Bile Builder. I don't know.
Yeah, bile
or,
salts. Right. Bile salts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you've been taking now?
Yes.
Okay. So it could very well be that you didn't have enough fatty precursors to make cholesterol. Go get the test again and let's see what it shows.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. All right. It looks like we're done with questions. It looks like we've just gone a little bit over, but that's okay. I'm going to do one more refresh.
Okay, we're good. Janine, would licorice be safe with Graves if blood pressure isn't high? Yeah, but I would always be careful because Graves has a tendency to high blood pressure, and you'd be good if you're trying to do it for healing leaky gut. I would do, I'd definitely do the DGL, deglycerizinated. Yeah, your triglycerides are low too, I see, Laura. So, Kim, my mom has Alzheimer's. I feel it's from environmental sources, mercury from amalgams, as opposed to genetic. She had several episodes of not being able to see it all. Ooh, she went on in for an MRI today to rule out a stroke. She didn't have a stroke, and the ER doc wondered if she's been getting enough fruits, veggies, and vitamin A. Have you heard of this? Well, if she has Alzheimer's, I mean, certainly it's a great question for the ER doc to ask. It's very strange and unusual because they usually don't have any clue about fruits and veggies. So I think that's cool. I would highly recommend that you get the book, The End of Alzheimer's by Dale Bredesen. Excellent book. Describes all the causes. He says there's 36 mechanisms that they've identified in the lab that create the plaques and create the problems with the neurodegeneration that occurs. And he has solutions for all of them. A lot of it is what we talk about all the time. There are some extra things, you know, in terms of supplementation that you may want to look at for her. But I think that would be a great place to look. All right. I think that's it. Okay. Okay. So, Cynthia, it would be the NEPT neurotransmitter assessment would be in the history taking module. I think it's module 5 or 4. Okay. So Janine's looking for something in Egypt. And Lynn gave a recommendation for Alibaba, which is an international site that you can get some of that stuff. Yeah, if you cannot get DGL and you're going to try licorice, then I would go really slow and really easy and constantly monitor blood pressure because, like I said, Graves does have a tendency towards it, but if it doesn't cause a problem, it should be okay. Okay. All right. Oh, Annette says Dr. Dawn Ewing in Houston is an ND and would be a great resource for Houston folk. I think that was for Martha. Hypnotherapy. Yeah, so I don't know if you have that, caroldaly.com. Okay, good. And then it should be there. It's there. It's hypnotherapy for surgery. And I think, let me just click on that to see where it is. Does she have? It looks like she doesn't have a direct link there, but it's certainly worth contact. Here we go. Driving directions. I'm not sure. She used to have it up on her. Yeah, so I would look on that. I'll look for it, rapid eye. Medical hypnosis, here we go, let's see. I don't see a direct link to that program. We'll see if we can find it. I know she gave it to me way back when. And I'll see if I can find it. She's on Facebook, too, so you can look her up on Facebook. But, yeah, it was very helpful. Okay, I think that's it. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I really look forward to it. And, I look forward to it. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to our next time together. So I'm going to open up our lines so that we can say goodbye. Bye-bye, everybody. Let's see. I'll open up the lines, and we can say goodbye to each other. 1, 2, 3. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.